Well, last week we looked at the first two verses of Psalm 91 as we focused on God being our shelter. We considered that our greatest security lies in the sure truth that God is the Most High, the Almighty God. We call Him Lord, the covenant-keeping God. And we're able to proclaim that He is my God. He is the one that we can trust as our shelter. He is the shadow in which we can abide. He is the one that we can call our refuge and fortress. Our God is the God who is omnipotent, all-powerful, who is sovereign. And He is our personal God in whom we can trust and place our full confidence. So we're going to continue looking at Psalm 91. Last week we looked at God as our shelter. Today we're going to look at God as our shield, or God as your shield. Starting from verse 3. Dr. Roskopf, one of my favorite professors from the Master's Seminary, provides some wonderful insights that I'll be sharing from today from Psalm 91 I want to pass on to you. He particularly had a focus on prayer during seminary and taught a class on prayer. And what really came out of that was his magnum opus. It was a commentary on how prayer is seen throughout the whole scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And it really is one of the greatest treasures that I think God has provided through him to help us see the priority of prayer in Scripture. Now, when we look at the Psalms, we see the Psalms, especially as the worship manual for the nation of Israel. Some of the Psalms come from the time of Moses. Many were written by David as well as others. While there were obviously a number of human writers for the Psalms, the main character, the main person, though, is always God. But there's a certain sense of reality and a transparency of human emotions that gets communicated through the Psalms. And I think it's really helpful for us. God knew that we needed all of Scripture, but in particular the Psalms, to help us get through times of hardship, of trials, of suffering, circumstances that are hard for people to face. And this is such a time. And one of the things that I was thinking about as I was going through Psalm 91 was, well, if you don't have God as your shelter, if you don't have God to be your ultimate security, how do you face the harsh realities of life? It's interesting to see people who maybe don't really care about God so much in their daily lives, but when hard times come, they're quick to blame God. But the thing is, where else would you go for hope? Where do you go for shelter in the midst of the storm? Who else will provide the kind of protection that is needed to face the swirling storms that come our way? This is why the Psalms are often the go-to book during times of trouble. If you remember last year, we took some time to go through the Psalms once a month. And I hope that you will continue to look through to the Psalms as a source of comfort and strength, because what the Psalms really do is takes us to the person and work of God. So when we think of God being our shield, and that's kind of the picture I want to really impress upon your thinking today. Last week, God is our shelter. Today, God is our shield. And starting from verse 3, we're going to look at verses 3 through 13. We'll get through most of it today, and we're going to follow up in one more sermon. But let's start from verse 3 of Psalm 91. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence of the pestilence that stalks in darkness. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. A thousand may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. That first picture in verse 3, where it talks about the snare of the trapper, it's alluding to the idea that there are those who would try to plot against you, that they would try to entrap you in their schemes. And these are evil people. These are wicked people. Psalm 119, 110 says, "The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not gone astray, from your precepts. Now, during times of trouble, God's people have always had to face the reality that there are people who will try to lay snares to try to entrap you and hurt you, even try to destroy you. Now, while God indeed does provide protection according to his will, it doesn't mean that the deadly schemes of the wicked catch us helpless or unaware. God actually can and will use these attempts to display his glory in ways that the wicked would never have imagined. And this is the perspective that I hope you see that transcends just the immediate circumstances. How do you face the reality that there are wicked people who would scheme to do evil against others? Well, Jesus had to deal with that. I mean, how many times did the religious leaders try to trap him, scheme after scheme, ask him questions that they thought could incriminate him? There were many truly evil and wicked people who sought to destroy Jesus. But one thing we see very clearly, Jesus never saw himself as a victim, much less helpless to their schemes. Jesus knew there was a divine plan in motion, and nothing would thwart him from that path, not even the traps of evil men who sought to kill him. We can be assured that God is in the business of protecting his children from the schemes of evil people. I've seen this true in so many ways. God has been so faithful in this regard. In the past 30 years of ministry, there have been numerous attempts of individuals to scheme and to plot, to undermine, slander, even try to blackmail me. And when I would find out these things, they would really be stunning because you would have thought, well, I can understand if there are evil people out in the world, but you see that there are even evil people in the church. And what do you do with that? In fact, it can be such a heartbreaking situation. The weight of burden would be so great that there'd be times where I would want to give up. Now, there were situations where there were actually severe consequences that took place because of the actions of the schemes of evil people. And it was during those times I wondered, where was God in the midst of it? Where was God when we lost our home, when I lost my job, when we lost all our money, when we lost really everything that we had worked for? But this is where understanding the greatness of God comes into play. We often are not able to see what God sees. The plans that God has for us transcend our ability to see and comprehend at times. So we don't always immediately understand. But it doesn't mean that God has stopped sheltering us, protecting us. It doesn't mean that God no longer cares that there are evil and wicked people who come to hurt and destroy. He is still faithful to be a shield. In fact, this goes on in Psalm 91, when he talks about the pestilence. We talk about plague and illness. Exactly what we're facing today with this COVID-19 situation. If you remember the story of Israel, there were even times where plagues were sent as judgment on the disobedient. Now, God's people do not need to fear ultimately sickness and plague. Now, we understand that it's not that Christians never get sick. It doesn't mean that no one will fall prey to this virus or even die. That is not the promise. In fact, those who preach a prosperity gospel, a health, wealth, prosperity gospel, will often say something along these lines, that God's will is not for you to get sick, and that's not true. But it is only in God that we can trust that even when, whether it's the schemes of wicked people or the sickness of plague, these things ultimately don't defeat us. It doesn't ever take us away from God being our ultimate refuge. But one thing we might need to really consider, there are indeed many times that God protects us from the wicked, where he protects us and is merciful to keep us from falling prey to sickness and disease and even plague. But physical protection is not the ultimate protection. God is our shield. He is our ultimate protection from the effects of sin and this fallen world. When you look at Psalm 91, verse 4, it says, "He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark." This kind of builds on the idea of what's found in verse 1 of Psalm 91 when it says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." You know, when you think when there are difficult times, whether it's the schemes of wicked men or whether there's sickness and plague, there's something very comforting about this picture that's presented. In fact, it's a very tender and a very beautiful picture of the wings of a parent bird protecting her children. But for the Christian, we understand this is not just a feathered wing. In fact, the protection is the very faithfulness of God that acts as a shield and bulwark. A bulwark is defined as a massive slab of rock, a wall between one and its attackers. Dr. Roskopf shares that in one of his notes on this verse. If you remember the old hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," says, "A bulwark never failing." This is both a picture of tender protection, of being under the shadow of the wings of God, but it also is a picture of unbreakable protection. Now, in terms of the tenderness of the picture, we see that even the heart of Christ, if you remember from Matthew chapter 23, when Jesus is looking over Jerusalem and he laments over the city, he writes, or Jesus says in Matthew 23:37, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling." How sad that there are those who would be unwilling to come under the cover of God's wings as a refuge. Even during these days, it is sad that people who are lost and seeking for refuge are unwilling to turn to the only one who can be trusted during times like this. In fact, when you think about it, even for us as Christians, for some people, a lot of anxiety and a lot of stress have been revealed in response to our circumstances. But maybe it uncovers something that's even more potentially troubling. Do you really look to God as your ultimate shield, as your fortress, as your refuge? Do you find your comfort and strength in who he is? Or do you question who he is? You know, this is something that can often be seen in a parent-child relationship. You see children who really question their parents, question whether they care, question whether they're really looking out for them. But during times of trouble, especially when they're facing maybe hurtful people or circumstances that affect them, like when you're sick, you do look to your parents. And there's something comforting about just being able to be held by them, knowing that they're protecting you, knowing that they're caring for you. And that's a very small picture of what it looks like when we consider who God is as Father. To be in the shadow of his wings is to know that you will be covered by his faithfulness. This faithfulness acts as his shield for us. It is a bulwark. It is this massive rock wall that no one can get past. God's faithfulness is shown in that there is ultimately nothing that can defeat us, even in the face of death. Psalm 40, verse 11 says this, "You, O Lord, will not withhold your compassion from me. Your loving kindness and your truth will continually preserve me." God's faithfulness means that he will not withhold his compassion. His loving kindness and truth will continually preserve us. This idea of God's faithfulness is something that is often questioned when difficult circumstances come into our lives. We wonder, is God truly faithful? Why would God allow such circumstances to come into my life if he was indeed faithful? Well, maybe we mistake circumstances that are difficult as a reason to question the faithfulness of God. God's faithfulness never changes. What the circumstances do, it reveals whether we truly trust that or not. In fact, the hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," really provides a perspective that we really should consider. And as I've shared, it's one of my favorite hymns. I just want to recite some of the first verse in the chorus to you. It says, "Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be." Do you see the fact that God is an unchanging God? His character is woven into this idea that He is faithful. God doesn't turn like we do. He doesn't change so easily when the circumstances are dire. Instead, His faithfulness, we can always say, is great. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. If you look at Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, it says this, "The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness." One of the challenges that we might find being cooped up at home every day is it just seems like, we wish we could get out. We wish we can do something different. We wish that we were not so just confined to our homes. And the longer that we kind of stay in this situation, the more people might want to question. But do you see, this passage says this, "The Lord's loving kindnesses will never cease. His compassions never fail." It doesn't matter how long this quarantine period goes. It doesn't matter how long we might have to deal with the realities of a virus that is right now killing people. God's loving kindnesses, His compassions are new every morning. Really, what should give us great comfort in terms of God's faithfulness is that it is His love for us that is really unchanging. When we consider God's faithfulness to be our shield, Psalm 91 really provides this picture for us to keep in the backdrop of our thinking. He is providing the shadow that we are able to abide in. But who is this God? He is the Most High God. He is the Almighty God. There is no one who comes even close to who God is. He is the one that we call Lord, the name Yahweh, His covenant-keeping name. God keeps His promises with those that He has made a covenant with. He is the sovereign and all-powerful God. When we say to God, "God, You are my God," it means that we are forever enveloped in His compassionate faithfulness. There is nothing we need to fear, not the evil schemes of the wicked, nor the threatening sickness of a plague. As we go on in Psalm 91, it gives us confidence because it shows that God is our faithful shield and bulwark. Because that is true, we need not fear the terror by night, the arrow that flies by day, the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, the destruction that lays waste at noon, though 1,000 may fall at our side, though 10,000 at our right hand. Those word pictures there give you an idea of, though the circumstances are around you, whether during the day or whether at night. It talks about the night terrors, and for those of us who have little children, sometimes they wake up terrified at night, and they're just frantic. And, what do they do? Well, they come to you as parents. Why? Because they're looking for comfort. They're looking to know that they are protected. And God is the one who is our shield, our bulwark, when we face the terror by night. A few times in Psalm 91, it talks about the pestilence. It talks about the pestilence that stalks in the darkness. And for those of us who are watching the news and who are keeping count with the statistics of this COVID-19 virus, we see that now in our country, the United States, that it has the greatest number of those who have contracted the virus. And we see the number of people dying grow greater every day. Now, some people might want to say, well, other people die because of the flu and other diseases. But the reality is that death is something that we all fear. You might say, well, it's whether it's 1,000 people who die, whether 10,000 people die. The numbers actually really have no consequence when it comes for us in terms of who do we look to for comfort and strength. It might very well be that Christians will contract this virus and even die. But we find our ultimate comfort and protection in knowing that that is not the end for us. When you go back to the Old Testament, you see the nation of Israel, and because of their disobedience, there were times when they had to face a plague of sickness, and they died. Now, the one who is a child of God, who is obedient, who seeks to honor him, we can be confident and assured that sickness and plague is not a sign of judgment toward us. It's the same thing when you think of the evil plans of wicked men who seek to entrap you, seek to set a snare. God will be faithful to judge those people. But the question is, how do we respond? How do we respond? And are we quick to maybe question God? Are we quick to wonder if he's still going to be faithful? Well, look at verse 8 of Psalm 91. When it refers, when it says you, for you have made the Lord my refuge, for you have made even the Most High your dwelling place. This really challenges us to ask if this is personally true. I'd like to ask you a question. And I asked this last week. Can you make the same proclamation that the psalmist makes? Can you say that you have made the Lord your refuge? Can you say that you have made the Most High your dwelling place? Can you say with full assurance that this is true? Now, when it talks about this concept of a dwelling place, this is not saying that God is just something or someone that you just visit periodically, like on Sundays. This is not saying that your relationship with God is like a hobby or some sort of holiday tradition. You know, there are some people who maybe go to church twice a year, Christmas and Easter, and you kind of check in and say, well, I've done my duty in relation to God. The concept of a dwelling place is this is where you make your home. This is where you rest your head. This is where you say you live, because God is your dwelling place. Now in Psalm 55:15, it gives the contrasting picture. It says, let death come deceitfully upon them. Let them go down alive to Sheol, for evil is in their dwelling, in their midst. For those who are evil, for those who are wicked, it is as if evil is their dwelling place. The evil dwell in evil. Those who do not love God, who do not see God as their dwelling place, as their refuge, their shield and bulwark, they will look to other things. Evil is the dwelling place for the wicked. It is where they go to plot and scheme and lust after things that contradict everything about who God is and what God represents. But the one who finds God as his shelter, as his dwelling place, as his refuge, his fortress, in God himself. The only reason you can claim this is because there is a love for God, a trust in God, a resting in God that is grounded in the conviction that God is the one who has first loved us. He is the compassionate God. He is all-powerful, faithful, the covenant-keeping God who is Most High, who is Almighty. You see, your view of God really matters when it comes especially to times like this. In fact, we have to ask ourselves, why are we so anxious and why do we stress when in fact this world is not ultimately our dwelling place? This world is not our home. In fact, it is actually a temporary stop. We are not citizens of this world. We are citizens of heaven, as Philippians 3 says. That's why when we consider the troubles and anxieties of this world, not to mention the evil schemes of the wicked, the natural disasters, the pandemics, and all the crazy things that come with living in this fallen world, we need not fear, because this is not our dwelling place. In fact, our dwelling place is not so much a location, but it really is in the person of God. To dwell in the house of the Lord is to dwell with God. That's what makes the dwelling place secure. We can see the dwelling place as a place of faithful protection, where not even death in this life can take us away from it. You see, when you see God as your dwelling place, this is where you can say you experience the fullness of who He is, His loving kindness, His goodness, His beauty, His blessing. In fact, throughout the Psalms, when it gives this idea of God being our dwelling place, it really ties it in to what we experience about His character. Psalm 5:7 says this, "But as for me, by your abundant loving kindness, I will enter your house. At your holy temple, I will bow in reverence for you." Psalm 23:6 says, "Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Psalm 27:4 and 5 says, "One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. For in the day of trouble, He will conceal me in His tabernacle. In the secret place of His tent, He will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock." Is that the one thing that you would ask from the Lord, that you would seek, that you would dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life? And why would we want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our life? So that we would behold the beauty of the Lord. Do you consider God to be beautiful? When you think of the fullness of His character, when you think of all that He has already shown Himself to be faithful in, this is why this idea, especially in the day of trouble, when it says, "God will conceal me in His tabernacle, in the secret place of His tent, He will hide me." You see, to dwell in God is what provides you that comfort, that strength. Psalm 65:4 says, "How blessed is the one whom you choose and bring near to you to dwell in your courts. We'll be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple." I think, unfortunately, for some people, they equate the goodness of God to be only when it's manifested, maybe in physical or material things. Maybe when your job is going well, maybe when you get a nice house, maybe when you get your needs fulfilled. We maybe limit the goodness of God to such smaller things, when in fact, are we satisfied with the goodness of who He is? Psalm 84:10 says, "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." The psalmist here says that one day in the courts of God, even to just stand at the threshold of the house of God, is better than 1,000 outside. It is obviously much better than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Now, when we think about the concept of security, this is more than just some sort of emotional feeling. In fact, the circumstances can still be difficult, even dire. We don't necessarily see the end of where these problems lie. But what we can be sure is this: God is our shelter. He is our refuge. He is our fortress. To be at home with God is to be with God. And there's no better place where you could be. I want to give you some closing challenges to consider. Is God your dwelling place? Maybe for some of you, what's being revealed during this time is how small your view of God is. maybe how God is not your dwelling place. Maybe you see God just as a nice friend that you check in with once in a while. Or maybe you feel guilty. You need to go and talk to him once in a while so that you can assuage that guilt. God is much more than just someone you touch base with. Especially during times of trouble, I think it's revealed how we really view him. So what is your view of God? At Lighthouse, we'd like to say that really the one of the pillars of our church is to have a high view of God. And that's not just some nice sentiment that we're called to have. Do you really believe in the Most High, the Almighty, Yahweh, covenant-keeping God, the omnipotent, all-powerful God? And are you able to say, God is my God? Or do you question that? Maybe during this time, it is revealed in your heart that maybe you have more doubts. Maybe your faith is not what you thought it was. But let me ask you, who else will you go to? Who else can provide shelter, refuge? Who else can you say will be my shield, my bulwark, never failing? There is no other alternative that comes even close to who God is. In fact, when we consider what should be a weightier matter, and that is the issue of our sin, our sinfulness before God. In fact, maybe during these times, it's revealed in your own heart, your struggle with sin. And maybe for some of you, you might have to really ask, do you really even know God? You know, one of the things that we are blessed to have living here in Southern California is such peace and freedom to worship that maybe we take it for granted. And maybe for some people, you don't realize that maybe the ground that your spiritual life is planted is very shallow. Well, maybe one good thing that we can see coming out of this particular time of trial is, does it cause you to draw even closer to God? Do you look to him to be your shield? Do you look to him to be your shelter? And maybe if that's something that's very clear now that you're struggling with, well, Psalm 91 is for you. Psalm 91 is to challenge you to look to God, to be able to claim him to be my God. There is no one else that you can look to who can be what God is to us. When you think of ultimately the reality that we will all die, and it's terrible that people are dying from this virus. It's terrible that people are dying from other things as well. But what is more serious to consider is people are dying in their sin. And that is the greatest concern that we should have, not only for our own lives, but even for the lives of others. This is an opportunity for people to be faced with their mortality. Can we show them, can we point them to the only one who can be the eternal rock and fortress, shield and shelter? You see, when we came to know Christ, we were able to say, because God has saved me from my sin, because Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for my sins, past, present, and future. Not only am I saved from sin, from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, and ultimately one day the very presence of sin, but I now have the very promises of a God who will be faithful. And great is his faithfulness.